A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the Scripture, that he must rise from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. The other day I was listening to Giuseppe Verdi's Requiem, with its beautiful, dramatic, and tremendous music. It is awe-inspiring. It is not the first time I listened to it, but I was deeply impressed by the words and music of the Dies Irae, the sequence that speaks of the coming Judgment Day. The Dies Irae, the Day of Wrath. The fourth stanza presents death stupefied when it sees all creatures awakening in answer to the call for everybody to stand before the judgment throne. The Requiem is a mass for the dead. It is not an Easter celebration. But it was Lent, and I was thinking of Easter. Imbued as I was with Verdi's music, I imagined death dumbfounded, astonished and speechless at the resurrection of humankind on Judgment Day. I thought, how much more wordless must have death been on that first Easter Sunday when Jesus resurrected to life on his own power. The Easter sequence we read today tells us that death and life contended in a spectacular battle. The Prince of Life, who died, reigns alive. I asked myself, what was spectacular in this battle between life and death? We can imagine that the battle between life and death was remarkable, enormous, and outstanding. It was a fight between the Almighty and the powerless. We think that death has power because we see her saying the last word, "For we all will die." However, power belongs to the Almighty, who knows that death is only a passage from life in time to life eternal. This is why I imagine that the spectacular battle fought on Easter Sunday was a silent battle. Death was stupefied when it saw the author of life resurrecting without asking her permission. What word could death pronounce before the Son of God, the word that created and recreated every living thing? Jesus just went on his way to life, as he did on those occasions when people wanted to kill him before his hour had come. When his hour came, he resurrected. What happened on the morning of the first Easter Sunday? How did Jesus resurrect? There were no reliable witnesses. The soldiers guarding Christ's tomb were easily bribed and silenced. They spread the story of a stolen body to explain an empty tomb. It coincided with the first impression the women had when they went to pay their respects to the dead Christ, and they saw the empty tomb, so a stolen body. They could not yet understand resurrection. We still find it difficult to understand resurrection. Indeed, we do not understand it. It is beyond our mental capabilities. For it is not a return to life on earth with all its limitations, joys and suffering. Lazarus was returned to this life, and he had to die again. Christ's resurrection is different, for as St. Paul tells us, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The real and trustworthy witnesses do not tell us about the dynamics of the resurrection. The disciples, men and women, speak about their personal encounter with the Lord who is alive. The empty tomb itself spoke of the Lord of life, leaving it alive under his own power, for he is the Lord. These encounters happened at different times with different people, individually or in groups. The Apostle Paul tells us, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." These appearances tell us that although Jesus resurrected on a given day, at a given time, the awareness of his resurrection did not come about and was not accepted at once by all. This awareness depended on different encounters and the different moments and places in which those chosen to be witnesses of his resurrection were. Mary Magdalene was outside the tomb weeping because of the stolen body of Jesus. Then she met the man she thought was the gardener. She only became aware that he was her risen Lord when he called her by name. On recognizing him as her teacher, he gave her a mission to be an apostle to the apostles. "Go and tell my brethren," he told her. Two disciples were walking back to their village, sad and discouraged. They met a fellow traveler and they felt something different as they chatted along the way. As it was getting late, they invited him home. They became aware that he was the risen Christ when he broke their bread. He disappeared from their sight, and they walked back to their fellow disciples to break the news of the resurrection. The disciples were gathered together in a room, afraid. Jesus entered the room even though the doors were closed, and he stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you." He showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy. He breathed the Holy Spirit on them, and he sent them in mission. Saul was full of zeal for God and against the disciples of the Lord. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest all those who professed their faith in Jesus. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He was baptized by Ananias. He then started to preach the Lord, who was crucified and resurrected. As John said at the end of his gospel, there are many other things that Jesus said and did. Let these few Easter experiences suffice for the time being. Let us remember that the message and the acceptance of the mystery of the resurrection is not a one-off experience. Starting on the first Easter Sunday, these appearances are repeated at various times and in different ways in the lives of the many that Jesus meets in an effort to make of all nations his disciples. I believe that the word of God spoken by Isaiah, "I am doing a new thing, now it springs forth, do you not perceive it?" is an Easter invitation in the sense that we are encouraged to pay attention to the signs of resurrection that Jesus is still working in our days. There is no need to look for spectacular appearances. Small, beautiful things are frequently used by the Lord to tell us, "Look here, do not be afraid, I am with you." The other day, it was a two-year-old girl with her tiny index finger on her lips inviting me to be silent in church, a thing she had just learned from her mother. I saw a child yet too young to speak, moving her lips trying to reproduce the sound of the prayers adults were saying during a celebration. Easter signs can be seen everywhere around us. The tomb is still empty, for we cannot see Jesus with our own eyes, but we can perceive the newness of life in the Lord. Indeed, He is still alive, and He sends us in mission, so that as many people as possible may feel the joy of being His friends and disciples.